Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
See what love God has given us, that we should be called children of God. We begin today at the end. I open at the close. No, not with the amen of the sermon, sorry, but with the amen in some ways of our life itself, with that moment just before our final exhalation of breath. That moment that most of us avoid thinking about, but which all of us sooner or later will face. Don't worry, we won't dwell in it. It is simply a means to an end, or perhaps in this case, an end to a means. Because the truth is, at some point, all of us have to face the reality of death. It is a part of life. Not one we like thinking about, and in this Easter season, we do celebrate the fact that death does not get the final word, but we cannot ignore the fact that someday we will take our last earthly breath. When that moment comes, we do not know, but it has yet to fail to arrive completely. For some, way too soon. Now, maybe like me, you were one of those children who would lie in bed at night and worry about death, who would toss and turn and not be able to sleep until they got some kind of assurance. Or maybe you were one of those children who unfortunately had to face the reality of death way too soon. Or maybe you're just starting to think about it now. Whatever the case, all of us at some point have to confront the reality of death. It is a part of life, the part that makes us human. And maybe by taking time to consider that final moment, we might better utilize those moments we have until then, however long that might be. In other words, if we never stop to consider where we want our journey to end, how will we know the route we want to take to get there? And so, we begin at the end with a simple question. In that final moment, with that final breath, what do we hope we can say about our life? Not where do we want to be, or how old do we want to be, or what do we want to have accomplished? No, what do we hope is true about our life in that moment? When William Shakespeare pictured a life, perhaps unsurprisingly, he used the metaphor of a stage. We can hear it in that famous soliloquy from Jaques and As You Like It. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. And then he goes on to name those seven ages: infant, schoolboy, lover, soldier, justice, pantaloon, until he ends in a sort of surprising place, back at the beginning, with what he called second childishness. Second childishness. Now, he admittedly had a fairly pessimistic view of that moment, as being as teetering on the edge of oblivion, sans teeth, sans taste, sans sight, sans everything. But maybe he was on to something. Maybe in order to understand the end, we have to at least a little bit go back to the beginning, to those first moments. After all, if we think about those people in our lives who were able to live fully in the time they had, whatever time they had, wasn't it the people who were able to tap into that childlike spirit. Not ignorant or without understanding or immature, but childish, or maybe childlike. Perhaps we can think about people like that from our own lives. I know I can. People who, despite the odds, despite all the pain and sorrow they face, despite the circumstance, somehow manage to dig deep and hold on to that youthfulness, to hold on to that childlikeness, to hold on to a childish life. It's not easy to do. And yet somehow those who do, who can, manage to find something that those who can't don't. Maybe that other bard named William, not Shakespeare, but Joel, had it right. Only the good die young. In other words, friends, maybe for us as people of faith, as people who long to be children of God, who want to live into that role as disciples of Jesus Christ, maybe we ought not spend so much time thinking about how old we want to be when we die, but rather how young, not in age, but in spirit. Because if we are going to face that moment whenever it comes, it will help to have some of that joy, some of that childlike energy, some of that spirit that we can carry with us. And the good news is, it is within reach for all of us now. The good news, friends, is that though all of us might not be able to live a long life, we can all, by God's grace, live a full one. And if we can do it well, then at that point, not even death can stop our living. See what love God has given us, that we are children of God. It is, of course, counterintuitive, isn't it? After all, we spend so much of our time trying to grow up, trying to let go of those childish ways, trying to let go of some of those childlike things. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. But should we? That's the thing. We get so caught up in the growing up that perhaps we leave some things behind that we ought to hold on to, that childlike wonder, that childlike joy, that willingness to see things not just as they are, but as they could be. That too is a part of faith, isn't it, friends? That's the foundation of hope, a willingness to recognize that what is not what has to be. Children know it intuitively. It's the reason why they're able to reach out a hand across that divide. It's the reason they're able to play so well. It's the reason that they are able to love without condition. Nobody loves like a child, as fully or as freely as a child, which is why we mourn when we see it taken advantage of. As we as a community have mourned this week in the wake of the news out of Hilton. Make no mistake, friends. Children have much to teach us in the way of love. After all, no child is born hating. No child is born racist. No child is born ashamed of their own body. No, they have to be carefully taught. When do we grow out of that? Why do we grow out of that? One of the things I miss most about having people here in person are the children. Don't get me wrong, Miss Paula has done such an amazing job of connecting us in this moment, especially in those children's times when you can feel it and you can feel that connection. But I think even she would acknowledge that there is nothing like seeing those kids come running down that aisle. They come up and they wiggle and they giggle and they laugh and they make remind us of what it means to be fully alive. Oh, that we all had a little more child in us. If we all embraced a little more childish life. See what love God has given us, that we should be called children of God. I remember one children's time in particular when we called the kids forward and one little girl came running down the aisle, a redhead I happen to know fairly well. She handed me a note that I couldn't open at that moment. After all, I was leading children's time at the moment, which meant that it wasn't until they had already left the chancel and I was preparing to come up into this very pulpit that I opened her little note. Expecting, of course, to find a picture of a dog or a unicorn or a cat, which was the typical fare for Sunday morning's doodling. Instead, this little girl who had just learned to write offered three simple admonitions. You can love. You can love everyone. You can love Hannah. You can love. You can love everyone. You can love Hannah, and a child shall lead them. I have no idea what I preached on that particular Sunday, nor, I'm sure, do you. But I know with certainty that it was not nearly as profound, as pointed, or as direct as she was able to say in those 11 words. She said in 11 words what I struggled to say in 2,000 each week. She said in 11 words what 2,000 years of Christian history has struggled to understand. She said in 11 words what Jesus Christ himself came to teach us. You can love. You can love everyone. You can love Hannah. It even seems to be in the right order. Some of us spend our whole lives on the first part, just trying to remind ourselves that love is within our grasp. That we can love. Why? Because God first loved us. We could spend our whole lives on that, and friends, it would be a worthy use of our time. Of course, some of us get that first part, but struggle with the second. We struggle with that idea that we could love everyone. We prefer the people who look like us, or smell like us, or think like us, or vote like us. And yet we're called to love everyone. We could spend our whole life there, and it too would be a worthy use of our time. Of course, some of us struggle moving from the abstract to the concrete, not just with Hannah, who couldn't love Hannah, but with those people in our lives that we know we are called to love, but whom we struggle to do. Jesus called us to love even our enemies. Some of us would much rather keep it abstract. Love of everyone sounds a lot nicer than love of that particular person. We know who they are, don't we? It takes meeting each other where we are and treating each other as if we're already where we long to be. We could spend our whole lives there. And it too would be a worthy use of our time. You can love. You can love everyone. You can love Hannah. And I do. So just in case you're not picking up what I'm laying down, in case you're not smelling what I'm stepping in case you're not getting what the point of this sermon actually is, let me just spell it out for you. There's a reason in that first epistle of John they use the image of a child to help us understand life. See, we don't think this was written by the same person who wrote John's gospel, but we do believe it was written to the same community, which means it's one of the latest additions to our scripture, maybe the very latest addition to our scripture, the last possible letter written to the community of Christians. It was written after people had been kicked out of their synagogues. It was written after the temple had been destroyed, after they had watched Jerusalem razed. It was written after they had been waiting and waiting for Jesus to return, only to discover that he wasn't coming. In other words, friends, it was written to a people who had faced the reality of death and wondered what the point of life actually was. And he told them, the point of life is to love, full stop. And we see God when we love because God is love. And if we want to know what it looks like, we need look no further than the children among us. Friends, just as we began with the end, we end with the beginning. By going back to that childlike spirit among us and asking ourselves, can we embrace it? Can we embrace that joy? Can we reach out across the divides? Can we see the world not just as it is, but as it could be? The truth is, none of us know when that final day will come, when that moment of our final exhalation will be. We just don't. We never know what a day is going to bring, and any Sunday could be our last. But we do know this, that every single moment of every single day, life is possible. And while there is no guarantee that all of us will live a long life, by God's grace, we can all live a full one. In the end, it's not about how old we are when we die. It's about how young we're willing to be. See what love God has given us, that we should be called children of God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.